story continued. I'm speaking these words just as Trump has visited yesterday China, which is, I understand, quite a big, significant event. And he had with him some of the richest men in the world, leaders of great, successful corporations in America. Why? And what's the purpose here? Now, in relation to that, game theory here, Jan, who speaks about this meeting, brings up the Plato's cave. And it's quite interesting why, because here we have the empire. That's where reality is being created. That's what it means. You have the power to some or other project a certain reality, a worldview, into the minds of people, as many as possible, who will then live that way and accept that worldview, with, of course, you there as the emperor. So I'm just saying this now so we can put it somewhere there in the story, because I really think it can work there. And how do you do that? How do you create that whole game world? Well, with the game masters. And who are they? The rich but very intelligent people. So then you have these people like Musk, and who are they? Were the other ones there? It was the Apple boss and Nvidia boss, I'm not sure, but if we went there or not. You know, those kind of smart Silicon Valley geniuses, super rich. Because that's the interesting thing we have here. We have the richest people of the world are some computer nerds. So then we have the president of the empire. I'm just quickly painting here a scene. Could continue from that Plato's cave thing. And the president is sitting there with those geniuses, super rich, and say, I want to bring you, all of you, because you are the smartest in the world and the richest in the world. And those Chinese, or whatever we'll call the country, will be so impressed. They are so impressed by you. We will take them by storm. And so he's talking that, you know, we will basically, however the wording is, come as projectors and project our cosmos, our world, with us there as the empire, the way we want it to look. Not too obvious, but, you know, still. Into the minds of those people. And they will be so enamored and impressed by the power that they see and that they meet here in the form of us and the intellect, that they will buy it. Just, you know, like students in a university tend to just accept the world as described by the teachers. So the fact remains, you know, we are the greatest and we are the teachers and we're going to teach them. In other words, pride and megalomania and all of those there in the luggage when these men, I think it was only men, now some women, come over there to China. Now, the thing is, what we can show you, whatever, again, names we give for these countries. The people over there in the East, at least we can use East and West, I think, they have a culture that is thousands of years old. They have old gathered, collected wisdom, high-level philosophy, and which means ways of analyzing and understanding reality, and which is the definition of intelligence in those countries over there. To have the sharpness, first of all, to separate reality from illusion, or separate away illusions from reality. So they have extremely sophisticated intellectual systems. And not only that, but they have many, many people. 1.5 billion people or so, who are not decadent, not to that extent at least, who are living healthy, and especially those who want to raise to the top of being influential, intellectuals, managers, leaders, and so on. On them, there are great demands for qualifications. They have to live healthy, not having alcohol or other drug problems. They are sharp and clear in their minds. And that then is just carefully, they're selected because they know their job. And so what this emperor and his team meet when they come there and sit in that, and they are like, they are impressed. They came there to impress the country with their, you know, billionaires. But they, you know, then they are meeting lady who is another billionaire on the same level as those guys and a few others, by the way. But they are introduced to culture that is thousands of years old, and they are in a city which was for thousands of years, many hundreds of years at least, the seat of the actual emperor. And they can see, this is for real. We are nothing. We are just a fairly recent nation here that was built upon stealing the land of the people who lived there when we came. And some of them are, you know, having to see reality there. Could be very interesting, because some of those men who the emperor brings with him are, of course, very, very intelligent. And although the emperor is more on the show and the facade of it and smiling and shaking the hands and, very good, very good. But he doesn't understand. But these other guys around could maybe even have Rick there, I don't know. So, he's great intellectual genius. Why not? And they see these, they discuss behind the backs of the emperor, a couple of those super intelligent people, that, hey, something here is not right. Of course, it's no surprise to them. They know China. But maybe not that much, actually. And they start to see not only that fact that we are here to impress them, but we are impressed and we are feeling small and like immature kids, which really they are, compared to these very old and mature cultures. But not only that, they notice, and they sit there in that big, nice conference hall room there, that on the other side of the table, or maybe they have a little, not just oppositions there, but you know, different discussion groups and so on. But figuratively, there are not just politicians and, you know, rich people to impress the emperor. But there are a team of quiet, young men and women, and old as well, who just sit there with very clear eyes and listen. And sometimes they, one of them just comes over and says something to the president or whatever, who nods. And they don't understand why at first, but then, you know, they use facial recognition or whatever, you know, on their mobile phones, hidden under the table or whatever. And they find out who these anonymous-looking but sharp-looking persons are. And they realize they are extremely intelligent from high up there. Not the ones who make cool electronic computer-ish machines or things like that, but much higher, you know, the very core of technology as it exists today in the most fundamental and highest level of understanding it. But not only that, genius is extremely learned and sharp in political analysis, understanding and having knowledge, you know, their traditional scriptures and those of other, you know, the entire region there, of psychology, how to read a person, and they can see right through the emperor and his team, who in their eyes look ridiculous. Much like the, and we can go even back in history there, when the first, in the 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th century, those strange people started appearing from the West. And how they were dressed, and these strange wigs they had. They thought they were robots because they were moving so stiffly. This is what I heard from Chinese people, actually, that this is how they saw it. So we can make funny scenes like that, that kind of are repeated now. They see the same. And we can even show those, that cool Western emperor's team, through their eyes. And yeah, we should have some, I already had it there, some Chinese equivalent to Rick. There should be some East, of course, Eastern characters that appear more and more. Or correspondence to Elon Musk-ish characters. And he or she, or they are, of course, in this crew here. That they, through their eyes, these men, and maybe a lady, the wife of the emperor, are sitting there, and how we kind of turn them a little bit into caricatures of themselves. So, and I don't know exactly how to do it visually, but making them look a bit ridiculous, just like we might do with these old European, British, French aristocracy, funny looking, you know, wigged. Very strangely dressed. I mean, just look at some old paintings, it's really weird. People. So we can take the strange dresses of this Western style and kind of exaggerate it a little bit. So it should be a little bit funny scene here. So here we have the Emperor's team thinking they are now duping. And projecting their own cosmos, the world, their empire, you know, with their empire in the middle. Into the minds of those poor Eastern, less developed leaders. We know psychology, we know this and that. You know, we can have marketing experts who are involved. But then we see how the other side, first of all, they see through this completely. And they go out, you know, taking a little break or so and laugh. And they just play with them, the emperor and his gang. And they project a world that is so much smarter created. And that emperor and his team, that they don't even... Maybe just one, maybe Rick or so. Because the only way you can see that it's a projected, constructed cosmos, so to speak, or world, is by understanding quite nicely that Eastern culture and civilization and knowledge, which Rick does, but no one else really happens to be expert in that. And they don't even know, the emperor, that Rick has connections to, well, in, you know, something like India and their old wisdom and so on. So he can see it, but he can't explain it and make the others see it because it's too subtle, so he just keeps his mouth shut. And so the Easterners project then a view onto the emperor's team there, the Westerners, that is, it looks the way that they want it, that the Westerners would want it to look like, so they're satisfied. So they're using the same technique back, but much smarter and much subtler. So it's even more invisible than, you know, propaganda of the West is made to be, and it prides itself of being. Where they see what they want to see, but at the same time, the Eastern side gets what they want to get. Exactly what, I don't know. But it should be designed, of course, in such a way that, you know, we need here to get back to reality, get real. Now the Eastern intellectuals and so on, and wise people are speaking. And what to do. And it's not that they want to become the new empire. They are big and they are influential, and of course that's what they are. But they want a world where there is a multipolar situation where countries are cooperating with each other. And of course there are those who are in leading positions there, having more resources and more people and more knowledge and experience and qualifications and so on. But then those should take that responsibility and lead the world in a dharmic way with good intentions. And a leader should first of all have that qualification. So simply wanting to serve those, should be the best servant. Best leader is the best servant. These kind of ideas can come up there. And and that team there, the Easterners in that big palace or government building, should consist of some who look a little Chinese, some who look a little Indian. And things like that. The general Asia should be kind of mixed in there in the faces. This can actually be good. So, well, that's what the second chapter could be. Rick and his friend, they talk a bit, and then there's a call on the mobile, and oops. Call on a mission, and then to Rick's phone, and then he will something just very straight. You should be on the president's plane, emperor's plane, and president's imperial plane, something, at 8 o'clock tonight, something like that. You'll be briefed during the journey. Pack only for 2 nights stay. Secretary of the President, something like that. And there we are. So on the plane, then the president there is informing them about their smart theory, the plan here. Just the way we spoke here is actually really good. It's a good thing because it hits right into daily events and uses them in this story. So those who are able to and ready to understand, they will understand, and others can just read it. Well, I mean, it's epical in the way, in a sense anyway, because it's just, you know, events that have happened before and which are kind of epical, and you know, history repeats itself and so on.